Tango Tango Papa 2106, February 12th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Gordonsville, Virginia. And it looks like, just as I started to record, I kind of looked out the windshield, and it looks as if it is starting to sprinkle. And unfortunately, I have the windows. The truck windows are both rolled down fairly far. So I'm going to either have to stop the recording and move up, or... Actually, I'm partway there already. I can go ahead and just kind of roll the windows at least part of the way up so that it, there's really no wind blowing, but, maybe it won't, sprinkle in case it gets heavier. I knew it was supposed to rain. I guess it's actually supposed to snow at some point. Although when I looked at the weather earlier, it at least what they were predicting was that it's whatever snow happens in the middle of the night, it's supposed to stop before it actually gets to freezing temperatures. So it's supposed to stay above freezing while it's snowing. So we'll see what happens. In any case, I unloaded just a while ago, and so they've sent another load that picks up at about 100 miles from here, roughly, at Alta Vista, Virginia, and then that load that load delivers to... Sorry, I'm distracted here. That load delivers to Rock Hill, I believe, North Carolina, I think. I'm pretty sure it was Rock Hill, North Carolina. So, anyway, I'm just here, you know, kind of... at this point, just sort of hanging out. The load that I pick up tomorrow, according to the trip information that they sent, it doesn't actually pick up until, or it's not going to be available till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's really no point in me trying to hurry and get down there, because it's probably not going to be ready. And I would rather, you know, I don't want to arrive and then the thing not be ready, and then I'm, you know, the clock, the 14-hour clock's already started, and I'm waiting on it, you know. So I would rather avoid that if, you know. So I'll leave here possibly, let's say, around noon or something Eastern time, and then that way I can get there about the time, you know, when it's probably, hopefully, should be ready to pick up. And then I can just pick it up, and then the load actually delivers at 7:30 in the morning. I guess it would be Monday the 14th. Today's Saturday, February the 12th. It picks up on the 13th. Delivers at 7:30 a.m. on the 14th. So, but anyway, I am kind of right now, not due home yet. I'm supposed to be home by the 24th. And I think I talked in the last podcast, I had ordered an 85-inch 4K TV from Best Buy. And it's supposed to be delivered on the morning of the 25th. And as far as I know, that's still in progress. I haven't gotten any updates from Best Buy, although they did go ahead and ship the wall mount. So they did go ahead and ship that. I thought maybe they would just hold that at the store and bring it whenever they brought the TV out on the 25th, but evidently they don't do things that way, and so they you know, they went ahead and shipped the box with the wall mount for the television. And so I've already got that at home, so now, so, and, you know, so anyway, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll be showing up. Now, on the 9th, Samsung had their, I guess this time it was kind of a virtual event where they released new phones and tablets. And because prior to that, they've had a number of live events, like annually in New York City, where they, you know, when they're releasing new products. And so, but I guess this time, because of the virus or whatever, they just, you know, the Samsung Unpacked event was just, there was no audience, and it was just probably more or less just a canned thing that they had. But in any case, they did release new phones, and I initially looked at them and was kind of on the fence, because the phone that I have this Note 20 Ultra that I've had for I guess 2 years at this point, which I don't know what happened to 2021, but it seemed like it just zipped by. I know probably for a lot of people it didn't, but I guess for me it just seemed like it went by, and you know, I didn't even kind of, you know, I sort of knew it was going by, but it seemed like it really went by. So, but anyway, I've had this Note 20 Ultra, I guess, for 2 years at this point, and it's been a nice phone. I've had zero problems with it. It's remained fast. I've gotten quite a number of updates from, of course, it's through T-Mobile. So it's kind of got the T-Mobile version of whatever their version of Android is. So, but it's, you know, it's been a good, really good phone. And so I thought about, and I've had it paid off for some time now. So I thought about, well, I could just keep it. And then I kept thinking, you know, and so I looked. And so early yesterday morning, so that would have been early Friday morning, I was looking at the website again, and I decided, well, for one thing, there was a $250 off thing. And then there was also, they would allow $600 for my existing phone, the Note 20 Ultra that I have, as a trade-in, because obviously it's in, you know, it's in decent shape and what have you. So if I went for the they're not calling it a Note anymore, they're calling it an S22 Ultra. So apparently they've kind of maybe retired the Note brand name, but it's just S22 Ultra, but it's basically a Note because it has an S, you know, the built-in S Pen, and it looks exactly like this, you know, the pretty much like the existing Note 20 Ultra's pretty close to the same form factor. The only difference is now they've done away once again with the micro SD card slot. But so I went ahead and ordered the phone with the maximum memory. And so they're offering 128, 256, 512, and 1 terabyte built-in memory in the S22 Ultra, Galaxy S22 Ultra. And so that's what I picked. So normally it would be about a $1,500 phone, but with the $250 and then the $600 trade-in, it kind of ends up being $999 and then plus tax. And so you can sort of spend the $200 credit, or $250. You can sort of spend that with on products. And so there were Galaxy Buds, the earbuds, and so those have been around now for a while, and I got some of those. And then there was I tried to go for one of the cases, the phone case, but it said that one was I guess not available. It's already back ordered. And so, and then there was something else, and now I've forgotten what it was. So in any case, the phone, they're telling me a ship date of, the last time I looked, it was March 18th. So I guess if I was going to order that, I should have jumped on that immediately, and maybe I would have, because I think they were going to actually start shipping on February the 25th. So apparently by waiting or not jumping on it immediately, but I didn't realize I was going to do it, it was more of an impulse purchase, which I'm kind of prone to at times. So I figured, even though this phone that I have is in decent shape and it's given me zero problems for the last 2 years, and it's remained fast and what have you, I really don't want to keep holding on to it to the point where it does give me trouble. I would rather just kind of trade it in while it still has value and go for the next thing. And of course this S22 Ultra has a somewhat faster processor. Obviously it's got more memory. Now one thing, I think one of the reasons, and it is a valid reason, that Samsung wants, they did get rid of the SD card, is that it actually does slow phones down. I don't know if people realize that, but it does impact performance. If you have a micro SD card, it does impact the performance. And so if you just have just the built-in phone memory, and that's all the phone is utilizing, then obviously the operating system can operate more quickly. So that's probably one of the, so I can probably expect even better performance. So anyway, I went ahead and ordered that, but it won't, like I say, it won't be available till till the 18th of March is when they're projecting it to arrive. So I will probably be getting it, because I'm having it sent to a friend. So I will probably won't be getting my hands on it, actually getting my hands on it, until I go home again at the end of March, which I'll be going home, of course, at the end of February, which is still, a couple of weeks away or so. So, but then be going home again probably towards the end of March. So, but, you know, that's when they ship, or, you know, when it's going to be available, and so that's that. Now, had I waited and tried to go through T-Mobile, I would have ended up with, I don't know, they probably have like a 128 version of it, is probably what they would carry in the T-Mobile stores, I don't know, because that's what they did in the past, although the one that I have is a 128, and the Note 20 Ultra that I have is a 128, and then I have I've got a 128 micro SD card. So, but the new phone will have 1 terabyte of memory, and I don't anticipate filling it up. But one reason, and it's actually kind of justifiable, one reason, why would you want 1 terabyte in a phone? Well, that it would enable me to actually, if I wanted to record a bunch of 4K video, let's say, or even 8K video, that would be extra space and extra storage space for the larger files. Because as it is, if I can't really record a whole lot of 4K video without deleting a bunch of stuff. So that is one reason why it would be useful to have a terabyte of storage in a phone. Which is pretty amazing when you think about it. So anyhow, I have voice clip from Joel, and I've already listened to it, and so Joel is actually kind of talking about the Samsung event. I think he mentions it a little bit, and then he's also talking about getting another phone, and so here is Joel.
Hey Tom, this is Joel McLaughlin here. I just thought I'd say hi to you. For one, and I was listening to your latest show, I'm looking at doing my phone upgrade. I have a S10, a Note S10, or I'm sorry, Galaxy Note 10 Plus 5G. I'm stumbling all over the place. It's been a long day, and the battery port, the charge port, is starting to get wonky on it. I can do a warranty thing. I got the insurance on my phone, but I'm just not too much more, and I can start up on a new phone. So that's something. So, but I also had the S Pen broke on it too. So I gonna hopefully try next week. We shall see. To order a Google Pixel 6 Pro to go back to Pixels, mostly because the new one, S22 Ultra, is not going to be available till later this month. Yeah, that, and I'm kind of tired of Samsung stuff. It's kind of something I do every once in a while. Is I'll be on a Pixel for a while, then I'll switch to a Note or something else, so on and so forth. But then I use my phone a ton, you know, like if even at work, you know, I work from home, but even when I'm working, I have my phone up there dinking around on it, and I'm usually answering emails and stuff like that. So, so it'll probably be the Pixel 6 Pro, and if I ended up going past next week, I might consider the S22 Ultra, just because I do like the Note form factor, and that is the new Note, essentially. The S22 Ultra is the new Note. For laptops, back right around Christmas time, I had purchased a Asus Asus Republic of Gamers G15 laptop. You know, doesn't have the best battery life, but it does have a nice graphics card, and that really helps when you're rendering video. And I don't mean live streams or anything like that. I mean rendering video out of Adobe Premiere, or even over in After Effects, which I started to dabble into as well. So, and I got Windows 11 on it, and on my Surface Pro 6. I do like it on both of those machines. I don't use my Surface Pro 6 all that much anymore. One of these days, I'm thinking about getting like a little like a portable laptop thing that I can stick, like maybe don't kind of on wheels, that I can set up down here and maybe put my Surface Pro on it. See, that's kind of my big criticism of the Surface Pros, is that they're not really lappable. But it would be fine for just my evening dicking around on. But, my son's car, it's not in bad shape. But it's getting to the age where things start to go on it here and there. The engine light came on back in October. We did get that fixed. That was actually a full warranty repair. They had a couple of the sprockets on the front of the engine had teeth that broke off of them somehow. I don't know exactly how. And it was enough to throw the timing off just slightly. So either they broke off or they wore off, one of the two. So, and while they're in there, I had to replace the timing belt. So the timing belt was brand new, too. But it came on again over a week ago. Now, it's been off for over another week. So the engine light came on again. So I had an appointment scheduled for tomorrow. I'm now moving or canceled that. Because really one reason I'm canceling it is because I think we're going to try and trade it in early. We owe some money on this still. But the fact is any time I have something, you know, other than like a basic oil change or something, or tires or something like that, when I usually end up going to the dealer, mostly because they're the ones I trust the most, trying to sort out the engine codes. All right, and every time, and this is kind of due to the labor shortage, probably the parts shortage too. That every time I make an appointment, I can't get one within a few days. And so that doesn't happen. And then, once you do drop it off, it's at least 2 weeks until you get your car back. Well, that doesn't fly with my son. Really doesn't fly with me, but I don't have much choice in the matter. But it's all because of this stupid labor shortage, mostly. Where they used to have 5-6 techs working in a day, they might only have one or two. So they just have an incredible backlog. So, and I know the time's not really right to buy another vehicle, but I think that's what we're going to end up doing. You know, we'll trade this in and get something newer or new. And actually, it's probably going to be more likely new, because they started looking at car prices. And, you know, they probably are, they all are ridiculous, whether they're used or new. Looked up at CarMax, and they had a decent-looking Chevrolet Cruze, the last body style they had of the Cruze, which was 17, 18, 19, I think, somewhere around there. So I think it's either a 19 or an 18. And they wanted $20,000 for it. And it's like that everywhere. I've looked at multiple places on the used lot. So, you know, finding one under 20 is going to be next to impossible. But the Trailblazer RT, not RT, but a Trailblazer, I don't know what the, if it's an LT trim level, I think is what it is. Trailblazer LT, it's only $25,000. And Equinox is right around 30, I think. The only question I had, though, is when we go in, is it really 25? Because when I had to replace my Traverse, we paid a $5,000 premium on it above sticker, $5,000 above sticker. So I don't know if the prices I'm seeing online are have that added on there. And it's not every car that's like that. So, but so the Trailblazers are the smallest SUV my Chevy dealer has. I'd really rather get him in a Trax because he doesn't need something as large as the Trailblazer. But, you know, if that's all we can find, that's all we can find. The only color I saw over at least, this was last week when the wife and I looked online, was white. That's the only thing they had. That's like when I bought my Trailblazer. Fortunately, I like the color, but my Traverse, I should say, when I bought it, the only color they had in a trim level that wasn't a BLS or the lowest trim level was silver ice metallic. And I'm actually okay with that. I kind of like the color. Plus, I have the RS trim level, which has like the Chevy bow tie, and the wheels are all blacked out. And even the bow tie inside on the steering wheel is blacked out too. It kind of looks cool. I don't, you know, I'm tipsy. I really don't care too much. As long as it has certain features. The only features this one doesn't have, like three features that my new Traverse has, or doesn't have, I should say, that the old one didn't. One is the entertainment system. What the freaking do? I don't care about that. That essentially was an LCD panel that would drop that down on the second row, and then you can take DVDs and pop them into the car stereo. Well, I don't have that. It doesn't have memory seats. It also does not have the ventilated seats at the RS trim level. But it has adaptive cruise control. It has Apple CarPlay / Android Auto, which I'm an Android Auto person. So it works really well. After some whinging around with Google, even my house is finally on the map, my new house. But that's it. And the only other thing I'm not sure of, too, is a lot of the car dealers, because of the chip shortage, have started doing some deletes on certain features of their cars so they can have cars on the lot. They still don't really have that many cars on the lot. The other part of the car issue is the shipping backlog. So, anywho, I don't know if it's a good idea to do that. I'd love to keep this car, but the car we have, because it's like I said, it's in good shape. But I probably will get more than enough trade on this to pay the loan off and to pay a little down on the new vehicle. So that's good. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't really want larger car payments, but I just don't like missing griping about it too much. So, but the other thing on the Samsung event, and I'm not going to buy one, but their tablets look awesome, but I don't really want to spend the money. Their top-end tablet is the S8 Ultra, and it has a 14-inch screen on it, which is incredible. It's got a larger screen than the iPad Pros do. So, but they're god-awful expensive. It's like if I'm spending $1,000+, why get Android? Just get like a Surface laptop or a Surface Pro. The Pro 8s are really nice. They finally added the USB-C ports on those. So you can have the charger that comes with it, and I think you can also attach an external battery to it if you want to. But not that you really need to replace the Surface Pro, Surface 3, your Surface Pro 3, or, you know, you said you got a 7 now. So, but I'm a Surface Pro fan. I do like mine, but I just couldn't swing that this time, and I got a higher spec laptop for a lot cheaper. So, because now I'm doing pretty much exclusively the only one doing photos at our church now. If so, every Sunday I'm taking photos and video, and I enjoy it. So anyway, I'm going to finish the show.
Thank you, Joel. So let's see. Windows 11. Actually, my Surface Pro 7 popped up offering to upgrade, because I guess it has the required chipset for Windows 11. And so it said, do you want to upgrade to Windows 11? And I went ahead, and at this point I just put it off. I probably should go ahead and put it on there, because it said that, you know, they give you 10 days to change your mind, and then you know if you didn't like it you could go back. So I probably should put it on a machine just to probably play with it. I know that you know, you've probably heard that you can't just put Windows 11 on an older machine. You've got to have there's a couple of requirements for it, you know, and it checks before it'll install. And you can actually go in to the I don't remember, but it's kind of the installer program, you know, before you launch the installer program, you can actually go into the compressed files, the installation, like a DLL file. You can go into that and delete, you just delete a couple of they're like INI files. You delete those, or you delete a line out of them. I don't remember exactly, but in any case, you can actually do that, and then whenever you run the installer, and there's YouTube, the reason I know about this is because there's YouTube videos that document it. You can run it and it'll go ahead and install, but if you do that, then, and I was going to do that and then I didn't do it, but on a machine, one of the machines I have at home, and you know, a Lenovo, like a 20, what is it? It's like a 20-inch or 19-inch Lenovo all-in-one that I've had for several years. It came with Windows 10, and I thought about putting 11 on it just to kind of play with it, but I didn't do it. But if you do that on an older machine, then what you want to do is make sure that once you launch the installer, it's going to ask, do you want to check for the latest updates? And if you do, it's going to figure out that you know it's going to replace those files that you modified. And then it's going to abort the installation, because then it's going to come back and tell you that it won't install. But apparently, if you modify those installation files, and it's really easy to do, if you modify those and then you don't tell it to update when you run the installer, apparently, it, at least right now, it'll go ahead and install, and then it will continue to, after that, it'll receive updates from Microsoft as far as updating Windows. But, you know, because at that point, it's not running the installer anymore. And I think Microsoft probably knows about that. It's kind of a loophole that they're allowing. But, I don't know, that particular machine that I have at home isn't the fastest, even though I do have an SSD in it, and it's running, I don't remember, it's got an AMD processor, and it wasn't, like I say, I've had it for several years, and it's just not the quickest machine, but you know, because it, but it, you know, even with the SSD, it takes it about 30 seconds to boot up, which is much more reasonable than, when it had the 1 terabyte hard drive that it came with, it took minutes for it to boot up before it was usable, a number of minutes. But I may go ahead and install Windows 11 on the Surface Pro 7 that I have, and then kind of play with it. It, you know, from the videos that I've watched, it looks, apart from the interface changes and the, with the taskbar and what have you, it really looks quite similar to Windows 10. And I think that you know, they've made some changes to the interface, as you're aware, and I guess they're trying to make it more Mac-like or whatever. You know, and here they are once again. Microsoft has a history of kind of messing with the start menu. You know, and I don't know. I think that's stupid. I think people are happy with the start menu. Why keep messing with it? Just leave the damn thing alone, and as long as it, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and it's obviously it's not broke. You know, Apple has gained some share in the computer market, but, you know, and of course they've captured the higher end of the audience. You know, there's a certain element that they've captured, but Microsoft, you know, still has it's a dominant operating system, and it still is, and it probably will remain that way unless Microsoft really screws it up. It's theirs to screw up, you know. But, and then the other question is, as far as older software, let's say that I was going to use the Surface Pro 7 to record the podcast with. Now, right now, I'm still using the Surface Pro 3, and it looks like the battery, I was able to charge it, and it looks like the battery's just weaker, but it's not, it did, from the last time I recorded a podcast, I went ahead and charged the thing up, and then when I turned it on this evening, it said 100%, and then I went ahead and plugged it in anyway, because I kind of don't trust it, because I'm afraid that all of a sudden it's going to drop down, and then in the middle of the recording, then all of a sudden shut off. I don't want that happening, because that's a nightmare. Because I could lose the whole recording, whatever was already recorded, I could easily lose it. And so, you know, of course, what I'm using is Adobe Edition to record the, it's like 1.5. This is a very old piece of software. And, but it runs perfectly well on Windows 10. Now, I don't know, I guess I could experiment. That might be the thing to do is, load Adobe Edition 1.5 onto the Surface Pro 7 and then do the upgrade and then see if Adobe Edition will still operate on Windows 11. I don't know. You know, because one of the things they may have done is with the Windows 11, they may have eliminated the ability to run 32-bit programs. And that's what this, no doubt that's what Adobe Edition 1.5 is a 32-bit program, because it's so old at this point. Because it dates back to like 2004, something like that. So it's an older it's an older piece of software, but it actually works pretty well. You know, so I'm going to continue. My plan is to continue to use it. So I don't know, but at some point I'm going to probably. You know, they're talking about continuing with Windows 10, the support for a few more years, and then before the end of the life for Windows 10, and then you're going to be forced to kind of move to Windows 11. So I probably should kind of start messing with it, and there are other pieces of software besides, you know, of course you can still get Adobe Edition, and I'm not sure if they'll actually sell you know, of course what Adobe wants you to do is subscribe to their suite of products, and then you start paying annual fees, and I really want to do that. I'm already paying annual things for all kinds of other things, and Do I want to, you know, do it with recording, just for the recording software? Probably not. So, you know, but there are other programs that are, you know, you don't have to subscribe to. You can just get them and hopefully they will continue to work. So, but you know, I think I will, you know, whenever I go home again the next time, I think I will kind of play with it. And if I have a chance, I'm going to be pretty busy, because I've got the TV coming on the 25th, and then the following Monday I've got the dental cleaning appointment, and then I've got on the Tuesday I've got and I think that's probably the day before I'll go back to work. On the Tuesday, then, I have the cataract. You know, they'll look at my eyes again, the eye doctor. You know, after follow up with cataract surgery. So I'll be fairly busy, and then plus I'll be kind of hanging out with friends and all of that. So I'm going to be fairly busy. So we'll see if I have time to do that, but probably should play with it and sort of see, you know, if it'll work for me the way I want it to. So then you were talking about the cars and the chip shortage and what have you, and I don't know. I've noticed that, you know, just driving around, there are some car dealers that are just gone. You know, it was obviously, you drive, see these buildings that are just now vacant that were car dealerships. There's not a whole lot of them, but they are around. And most of the dealers are probably still in business, that, you know, but there still is a dearth of new vehicles, and they have become more clever about, I guess, sort of populating their lots with what new vehicles they do have, as well as the used vehicles, so that the lots don't look as empty as they were there for a while. So I noticed, whenever I was home the last time, I went to the local Toyota dealer and got my oil, the one that I go to, got my oil changed, and I, you know, while I was waiting, I kind of noticed that they had a bunch of used vehicles out in their lot. Of course, this is it's like an auto mall type place, and there's a bunch of, you got Toyota and Chevrolet and, maybe Nissan and some other dealerships that make up this auto, you know, so-called auto park or auto mall. And I noticed that there were a bunch of, you could tell the used vehicles because they all had little flags on the, you know, kind of sticking up. So, but they become more clever about, you know, making the lots look like they're more populated. You know, I guess sort of the old Soviet Union trick. You know, the grocery stores in the old Soviet Union, what they would do when, because they had a shortage of product, they would, instead of having bare-looking shelves, they'd just, you know, maybe they'd only have 5 products in the whole store that you could actually get, but they would line them all up to make it look like the shelves were full. Even though, you didn't have much of a choice in what you could get, but, you know, they sort of lined the stuff up so that it looked like they, you know, the shelves weren't empty. So I think, you know, I've seen a car dealership, you know, what they're doing, instead of just kind of parking them all as efficiently as possible, they're sort of maybe parking them end to end so that they, you know, it sort of fills the lot up more. So, but, so, You know, and it does make sense that they, if they're ordering vehicles, that they would go ahead and delete certain features, you know, kind of downgrade the vehicles so that they could at least get the, you know, get stock, you know, have vehicles in stock. Because, you know, it's nice to have the all of the different features, obviously. You know, it's obviously nice to have that, but at the same time, if you really need a vehicle, do you really need to have all of those things in it? You know, that's the question. Do you really need all that stuff if you really needed a vehicle? You know, so... But I don't know. I've got my 2017 Toyota and my 1998 Ford F-150 pickup. And both of them are, you know, running just fine at this point. So I, at this point, I really have zero intention of replacing anything, especially the pickup. Because, you know, I do need the pickup occasionally to haul things with, and I make a point of always driving it every time I'm home. You know, kind of keep it going. But, you know, but I do need the four-wheel drive occasionally. Now, had I, you know, of course it snowed quite a bit while I was gone, and now most of the snow's mostly gone at this point. That happened while I was away. Now, had I been home when it snowed, I would have needed the four-wheel drive to, you know, kind of get up and down the hill that I live on. But since I wasn't around, it ended up, you know, it's pretty well melted. I can see, and you know, the cameras that I have, the Blink cameras that I have at home. When I was looking, I guess it was today, I could still see a little bit of snow, you know, kind of along it, you know, an edge here and there. But it's been warm enough that it is, you know, and it's taken it a while because it was, you know, there was upwards of like 10 inches of snow. Now I don't know exactly, you know, it's probably that would have applied to my area as well. Sometimes I get more than what they do elsewhere, but it took it a while to melt, but it looks like, you know, and of course by the time I make it home towards the end of the month, it's, unless it snows again, it's you know, it's all going to be gone, you know, so missed out. Hopefully. Now, right now, I'm looking through the windshield, and the rain has come down more, so it's the windshield is really wet. There's a little bit of a breeze, and I was looking here, and it doesn't look like I got the windows down just a little bit, and it really doesn't look like it's raining in at all. Because sometimes, if it, you know, there's, you know, it'll kind of get the top of the door panels wet. You know, and of course in a truck it doesn't matter as much because they've kind of made it so that it's really water resistant to a large extent. So, yeah, it doesn't look like it's, it looks like, it, you know, whatever rain's coming down is just kind of more or less coming straight down. So, and it looks does look rather wet, so... hopefully when it does switch over to snow, it'll remain above freezing. Let's see here what this says. Local weather, 52 degrees, light rain showers, feels like 51. And so over the next few hours, it's going to be dropping. It looks like at 3 a.m. it changes to snow. At least according to Google's, you know, wherever Google gets their weather info at, 90% chance of precipitation. Changes to snow at 3 a.m., but it'll be at 3 a.m. it's 39, and then it continues to drop, and it looks like the lowest it's going to get, according to what they showed right now, is 35 degrees. And that'll be like at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then if I look at tomorrow morning, they're still saying 35, 36, 36, 34. And then 7 p.m. tomorrow night, or Sunday night, then they're saying 32 degrees at 7 p.m., 31 degrees at 8 p.m., and then the snow quits, and then it's just cloudy. And it gets down to 23 by 6 a.m. Monday. So, don't know. We'll just have to see what happens. Of course, that's always subject to change. So, just never know. So, but anyway, yeah, the vehicle thing is, that's kind of a pain. Of course, you know, there's the chip shortage. Half of the world's chips are made in, I guess, in Taiwan. And, of course, China's been threatening to invade Taiwan. You know, and, of course, you know, the other problem, China has basically captured our so-called elites. So they've, you know, they've done all kinds of bribes and blackmails and what have you. And so they've captured a lot of our politicians. They've captured, easily captured the colleges. You know, a lot of the college professors and what have you, they've captured them. And, you know, so they've sort of just, you know, taken over things, bought it. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, why are people for sale? You know, and they, of course, they always say everybody has a price. Well, not necessarily. If you've got morals, then you know, for some things, you're not going to have a price. If you've really got ethics, then you don't have a price. And so that's you know, you can say, well, you can try to blame China, but then is it really China's fault? Or is China just sort of the opportunistic infection? Because the country has a poor immune system as far as morals go, and it really is morals that determine the determining factor in the success of the United States. And our morals have been in, kind of a long decline. You know, it's been happening for a long time. It didn't just happen overnight. A while ago, I saw this article. It was actually on one of the few articles I've read for days and days and days. It was actually on Russia Today, the RT website, RT.com. And so the Biden administration has appointed this guy, and he's just openly, I guess he's qualified as far as education goes. They've appointed him to the nuclear. I don't know if they call it the AEC anymore, the Atomic Nuclear or Atomic Energy Commission or the nuclear whatever. But he's kind of in charge of nuclear safety, and so. But he's just openly, bizarrely, homosexual. You know, just really overt about it, and he's been really overt about talking about all of his sexual kinks, and just. You know, just totally open about it. You know, and they were, whoever wrote the Russia Today article was saying this is how empires, this is what it looks like when empires decline. You know, the morals go, and that's nothing new. I mean, we've known that. I've heard that my entire life, that's really, you want to see what happens. One of the leading indicators of an empire that's crumbling is that you look at the morals of the, you know, the people that are really visible. You look at the way they behave. You know, and you know, so this has happened in the past. Now, and I'm sure it's been just as bizarre. I wouldn't say it's, you know, we've got anything special going on as far as, you know, all of the bizarreness and the wokeness. There's nothing new under the sun. So I think, in, you know, this has happened before, but, you know, history ends up kind of getting rewritten. People don't really tell you what happens, or, you know, or they'll edit it out, or whatever. So I'm sure this, you know, the bizarre stuff has gone on in previous empires. No question about it. You know, because the moral decay is no stranger, let's say, to human behavior. So yeah, the perversity that we see really is nothing new. Now, I guess maybe what the difference is that we have all this media, and that it makes it easy for the, you know, because that's the one thing that gets better is technology, you know, and usually the big part of that is communications gets better. So it makes it more overt, communicating the decline and encouraging the decline to happen that much faster. But at the same time, we can use, there's nothing preventing us from using the same technology. This is the technology's, you know, it's neither good nor bad. It's just a tool. There's really nothing that's preventing us from using the technology, the improved communications, in order to reinforce or come back with morals, teach morals. And I think there's a market for it. Because the thing you have to remember with morals is that, you know, morals don't exist simply to, you know, kind of put you in a cage and prevent you from being happy, or whatever you think happy is, stopping you from having pleasure. That's not what they're for. The problem, you know, you break the moral rules, you know, like this this guy that you know, that they've put in charge of the nuclear stuff, and he's just overt about it, and you know, and you may look at him and you think, wow, look at what he's able to do. You know, and you may marvel at, you know, people, I think people do. They sort of marvel at the depravity of Hollywood stars. And then they don't feel as bad about them, you know, whatever they do in their own personal lives. But the problem is that you break these laws at your peril. You break the moral rules, moral laws, at your peril. You don't get away with it. And you end up making yourself miserable. You really do. So that's a valid reason right there to develop your ethics. You know, really, you know, develop your ethics and really live by, you know, kind of really dig in and figure out what the, you know, it's not just a matter of the written rules, living by the written rules. You know, of course, you live by the written rules. It's sort of like a jail that kind of keeps you, those written rules are sort of like a jail that keeps you from falling farther. But if you can really get to the point where you can understand why you don't want to break those rules, and then you stop breaking them, you can actually get to the point where then you have the benefit. And there's a real benefit to be had by living in an ethical way, living an ethical existence. There's a genuine benefit to be had. And really, you can do that by making friends with your conscience. So, but anyway, thank you, Joel, for the comment. So you'll have to let me know what happens with the phone as well as the car. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. So hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.